Well, our continuing journey through the Apostle John's first letter brings us this morning to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. And yes, we're actually going to get into chapter 3 this morning. Chapter 3 all the way through verse 10. If you're using your church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 863. I'll be using the English Standard Version this morning, and so it might be a little different from your pew Bible, but 863 in the church Bible. In writing this letter, one of John's purposes is to bring assurance to believers who've been shaken by false teachers. False teachers have caused great disturbance in the churches that Paul is overseeing. The false teachers left the churches then, taking with them those whom they had deceived. And so then, as we come to our passage for this morning, John has already given assurance to his shaken readers and also to us. We've already seen that our obedience to Christ brings us the assurance that we know Him. And we've already seen that our love for one another gives us assurance that we're walking in God's light. And also at this last hour, when false teachers abound, we have the assurance that we know the truth as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as both fully God and fully human. And so now we come to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 29 all the way through 3:10. And the Apostle John gives us further assurance. There's assurance after assurance after assurance in 1 John. So let's read, beginning with 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. That is the Lord. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He, Christ, appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed probably refers to the Holy Spirit, abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he's been born of God. But by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. That's the Lord's word for us this morning. Let's pray as we prepare to open it to our hearts and our minds. Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My godly father went home to be with Jesus in September of 2008. And at his funeral, a woman whom I had never met and who had never met me approached me and said, "You must be Earl Johnson's son." I replied, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she responded, "I can tell. You look just like him. Like father, like son." The Apostle John brings that family resemblance into the ethical and moral realm, into the lifestyle realm. He shows us that our lifestyle demonstrates who our Father is. And John implicitly poses this question to us. Who's your daddy? Who's your father? Who's your Abba? Now we begin answering this question in 1 John 2:29 when we discover that righteous living evidences the new birth. Let's take another look at it. 1 John 2:29. John says, if you know that he, God, is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born again, born of him. In other words, when we do righteousness, we demonstrate that we have been born of our righteous Heavenly Father. When we live rightly, we resemble our Heavenly Father who is righteous, and thereby we give evidence that we've been spiritually born of God. Now, practicing righteousness is neither the cause nor the condition of the new birth. Rather, we're born again by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Practicing righteousness is the evidence that we've been born again. For by doing right, we show that we are children of the God who is righteous. And that's a blessed assurance. Now John brings us into a parenthetical comment, a parenthesis. But it's a rich and deep parenthesis, so we're going to park here for a little bit, not just skim through it. Having spoken about righteous living as evidence of having been born of the Father, John pauses for a moment in his flow of thought for a reflection on what it means to be born of God. What is being born of God all about? In chapter 3, verse 1, he explains who we are. We are children of God, and what love the Father has bestowed upon us to make us children of God. Chapter 3, verse 1 brings it home. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See what kind of love. Ponder the manner of love. Pry into the kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. John wrote in the Greek language, and the Greek word translated what kind of, patapos, literally means of what country. Had you lived in a seaport town along the Mediterranean in the first century, you might hear excited chattering among the folks down at the docks. So you go down to the docks and you see the people gazing at an approaching ship on the horizon. And by the configuration of the sail, they can tell whether the ship is from their own country or from some foreign country. And if they perceive it to be of a foreign country, they ask each other, patapos, of what country comes this ship? Across an eternal ocean, there sails to us a deep, deep love, so vast, unmeasured, boundless, and free. A love so powerful and full. A love so steadfast and unwavering. A love so unconditional and sacrificial. A love so forgiving and gracious. A love so kind and merciful. A love so humble and self-giving. A love so satisfying and perfect. A love so thrilling, astonishing, awesome, and good that we exclaim, patapos, of what country comes this love? Of the country of heaven is this love, unfurled from the heart of God. And so let's see and ponder and pry into this love that sails to us from the country of heaven. this love that the Father has given to us, that He calls us His children. And when we come to faith in Christ, when we put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us new birth, and we're born again, born from above. And so the Father makes us His children. And we who are born again through faith in Christ are called the children of God. Wow, the children of God. Really? Yes, really, so we are. And the Father has given us this love. This love that has sailed to us from the country of heaven in the coming of His dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He makes us His children. And so this is the Father's love for us. Once we were orphans, now we are sons and daughters. Once we were lost, now we are found. We once were blind, now we see. We once were polluted by our sin, now we are cleansed by His blood, the blood of Christ. We once were objects of wrath, now we are recipients of mercy. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Wow, really? Yeah, really. So we are. John continues now, having assured us of the Father's love through the new birth as we put our faith in His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he continues on to what we will be like Christ at His return. Verse 2, chapter 3. Beloved, we are God's children now in the present, and what we will be in the future has not yet appeared. But we do know this, that when He appears, when Christ comes again, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Our Heavenly Father wants all His children to bear the family resemblance. He wants us to become more and more and more like His only begotten Son, our big brother, Jesus Christ. And so the daily work of the Holy Spirit within us is God shaping our thoughts and our words and our actions into the likeness of Christ. And that process will be complete only when Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes again, we shall be like Him. How so? We will have glorified, resurrected bodies like Christ's glorified, resurrected body. And we will have purity of character. Purity of character. We will finally be able to serve from pure motives. We will finally be able to spend a day in pure thinking. We will have purified character, like the purity of the righteousness of Christ, because we shall see Him as He is when He appears. Wow. I've seen many a beautiful sight in my 63 years of life. I've stood at the altar to fix my eyes upon the beauty of my bride, walking down the aisle adorned in white, a beauty that has ever deepened with the passing of 39 years. I've stood at the border of Brazil and Argentina to behold the beauty of the Falls of Iguazu spanning the horizon. It's 275 drops cascading with a thunder that conquers the loudest of the human voices. I stood atop the Andes Mountains to gaze upon a sky with a hue of deeper, darker blue than any sky I've ever seen before or since. And I've stood upon these sacred grounds at our Easter sunrise service to be surrounded by a golden sunrise to the east and a brilliant rainbow to the west. But all these earthly beauties will fade in the light of the all-surpassing beauty of our Lord and Savior when He appears at His return and we see Him as He is in the dazzling of the glory of His beauty that we can only imagine. For eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, given who we are as children born of our Father of love, and given that we shall be like Christ when He appears at His return, Jesus brings us back to the in-between time, to this right now time, in John chapter 3, verse 3. Through the Apostle John, the Lord shows us what we should be. People who live pure lives. You see, our certain hope leads us to this. Verse 3, John 3. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. In other words, our certain hope, not a wishful hope, but a certain hope that we shall be like Christ when He appears a second time, motivates us to live like Christ right now. Our hope in the future leads us to purify ourselves in the present. And so let's purify ourselves right now in preparation for the return of our pure Lord. If there's something impure in our lives right now, something that is polluting our lives, something that, well, might literally stink to high heaven, let's get rid of it fast, for the health inspector is on the way. And he could show up any time. That's the point of a health inspection. So let each one of us pursue the holiness of a life set apart for Christ. Let's be holy in character. Let's be holy in conduct. And notice the pattern. We are to purify ourselves as He, Christ, is pure. Our pattern for purity is not our spouse. Our pattern for purity is not some other Christian or some Christian leader. Our pattern for holiness is Jesus Christ. And our incentive for purity is our relationship with Christ, who is the lover of our soul. So this then is what it means to be born of God. We are children of our Heavenly Father, who loves us with a love from the country of heaven, a love that is vast, unmeasurable. And we will be like Christ when He returns. And so we prepare this day for that day, living holy lives just as He is pure. A Christian teenage girl was with a group of friends, and the group decided to go to a place where they should not go in order to do something that they should not do. And so she spoke up and she asked to be taken home, and the others began to snicker and make fun of her. And one boy said to her, "Oh, why don't you want to go with us? You afraid your dad will hurt you if he finds out?" And she replied, "No, I'm afraid that if I go there, I will hurt my father." And that's what it means to be born of our Heavenly Father. We love Him so much. We love Him so much as our response to His immeasurable love for us, We love him so much that we don't want to sin because we don't want to grieve him. John now returns us back to his main flow of thought in our passage for this morning to indicate to us that our lifestyle shows whose children we are. Verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he, God, is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed, likely the Holy Spirit, abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Well, now here we have a real head scratcher. I mean, this is a conundrum. If you don't know what conundrum means, go to head scratcher. Because in chapter 1, verse 8 through chapter 2, verse 2, John affirms that genuine Christians can sin and sometimes do sin. But here, in 3, 4 through 10, John seems to affirm that children of God do not sin. So on the surface, John seems to contradict himself. But John is too wise to contradict himself in the space of only one chapter. And the Holy Spirit, who has breathed out every word of Scripture, never contradicts himself. So, what's the resolution to this seeming contradiction? The resolution lies in the fact that in chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, John is writing of a particular kind of sin. The kind of sin that is lawlessness. And here, lawlessness means more than non-compliance with the law. Lawlessness is rebellion against the very idea that there is a law to which we must submit. Lawlessness is the rejection of a lawgiver to whom we are accountable. Lawlessness is rebellion against God's authority so that one becomes a law unto oneself, doing whatever one pleases. That's why 2 Thessalonians 2 calls the Antichrist the man of lawlessness and total rebellion against the authority of God. So, the Christian in 1 John 1, 8 through 2, 2 might possibly sin. But she recognizes the authority of God over her life. She recognizes that she's accountable to God for how she lives her life. So she is not lawless. Therefore, when she does sin, she's humble and contrite, and she confesses and repents and seeks God's forgiveness and cleansing, leaning into the grace of God, her atoning sacrifice and advocate. This one is a child of God. But the sinner in 1 John 3, 4 through 10, is lawless. So he sins in lawlessness. He resolutely turns away from God. He rebels against God's authority. He may even reject the very existence of God, thinking that we got here from goo to you by way of the zoo. Well, if there's no God, then there's no lawgiver over him. And therefore, he becomes a law unto himself, thinking that he can do whatever he pleases. And this one is a child of the devil. And so the difference between a child of the devil and a child of God is this. When a child of the devil sins, he shakes his fist at heaven in rejection and rebellion. When a child of God sins, she bows her knee to the ground in confession and repentance. And if the child of God finds herself in a repetitive pattern of presumptuous sin, she will hate the sin because she loves Christ, and she will seek to break free from the bondage to that sin, for she has the Holy Spirit. And so then John poses this question to us. Who's your father? Are you a child of the devil or a child of God? Who's your daddy? How you live shows who you are and whose you are. And we believers have the assurance that as we live righteously, we give evidence that we have been born again as children of God. May we all live, all of us in this sanctuary this morning, may we all live as children of God who belong to him, turning from sin in obedient response to our Father's love, which he demonstrated in the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, thereby proving himself to be the lover of our soul. And may we all purify ourselves in holy living in preparation for the return of him who is pure. For we shall see him as he is, in all the purity of his beauty. And those who are captivated by the beauty of Christ are not seduced by the glamour of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are so beautiful, and we can only imagine. And how we look forward to that day when you shall indeed appear in all the beauty of your glory and all the glory of your beauty, and we shall see you as you are and be made fully like you in character and in thinking and in acting and in speaking with glorified bodies like unto yours. Lord, we can't wait. Come soon, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, may we purify ourselves, preparing this day for that day. May we live rightly and righteously as children of a righteous Father. Move in our hearts, Lord, to accomplish this by the work of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.